Hey y'all, it's Jamie, and today I've got a story about a software project where a director I was working with let the power get to her head a little bit too much and got herself in some trouble. So I was working at a consulting agency again here in Austin, and I was asked to help a nonprofit company that had a software product that they wanted to completely redesign. Their main product was a system that managed grants that people could apply for. If they were like a school that was struggling and needed extra money, they could apply for money through this nonprofit. Well, when I drove there on the first day, I pulled up and it was in this weird unmarked section of a building where there were tinted windows outside and it was really secret. And I opened the door and walked inside. And it was really lavish. Everybody was using treadmill desks, which are really expensive, and everybody had top of the line computers, and it was just really a nice environment. These people had a lot of money. So I was joined at this company by two other consulting colleagues that were at my agency. I'd never worked with either of them before, but they were both pretty much at the same point in their career. And this was going to be the first project where I'd get a chance to work with them. Well, when I showed up there, the technical lead that was already there at this company working on this project, at least getting it started, had worked before at the consulting agency I was at. So I already knew him, and he was an independent contractor at that time. So he was working out at this client hoping that he could win a bigger, longer contract because he had just kind of went solo and was on his own. Well, on the first day, we had our daily scrum meeting and we went around the room like we always do. And I could tell right away that the guy that I had worked with before, who was a contractor there, did not get along very well at all with another gentleman who was on the project who was also a contractor. I think the second gentleman knew that my friend who I'd worked with before was trying to win a longer contract. And so they were both kind of in competition for this longer contract, and they both wanted to lead this project. So this contractor who didn't like the guy I had worked with before, who had recently went on his own, he would argue with him about every decision he made. He basically complained that he didn't know what he was talking about. He had a real attitude with him. And so I could tell something bad was going to eventually happen here if we couldn't get these two people to get along better. So there also was this project manager there who was working for this client, this nonprofit, and he had worked before at one of the big four companies, and he was always bragging about, oh, we did it this way, and oh, we did it that way. But it was like whenever I would really talk to him in a little bit more detail about what he was talking about, he never really sounded like he knew what he was talking about. And the two other colleagues that were from my consulting agency that were there with me were always asking me, does he know what he's talking about? He doesn't sound like he knows anything about what he's talking about. And so we all were kind of concerned that this person all of a sudden stopped showing up at the daily stand-up meetings and even our product planning meetings. He just was never there. Every once in a while, he'd pop in and he'd make an appearance, but it was like nobody really knew what he was doing. So an important thing to know is the client had estimated based on what they thought this product was going to cost and what they wanted to do, how long they thought it would take to build this redesign of this grant management product. But when they brought us in and had us sign a contract with them, we weren't actually held to that estimate. So that was just an estimate that they came up with to give them some idea. But as the project went on, I kept hearing that original date talked about all the time, like it was set in stone and it was something that people really were expecting everybody was going to hit. Well, one of the big problems on this project that started to become apparent was the product manager who was writing the user stories was pretty new, I think, to Agile at that time. At least that's how it seemed to me. And so the team would start building things based only off user stories. And I've talked about in another video how dangerous that is. And then they would show it to the business when it was done. And the business was really frustrated. The product manager always felt like, you're not building what I told you to build. And I personally felt like, well, how can you expect them to build that? You didn't even say that's what you wanted it to do. You just wrote them a high-level user story and no acceptance criteria or details. Well, this continued to go on and on and on, and it got to a point where the product manager started to get really frustrated with specifically the two contractors, the gentleman who I'd worked with before and then this other contractor that were fighting with each other. So pretty soon, a director from the company was called in, and she sat in and started to listen to some of these meetings and start to attend the sprint review meetings. And she noticed very quickly what most of us did, which is that a lot of the work that the team was saying they were done with wasn't really done. And you know, you've heard of the concept of the definition of done before. This was a perfect example of a team that had never agreed on a definition of done. So you couldn't really blame the programmers, but you also couldn't really blame the business for where things were at. There just nobody really made a decision and agreed on it. So the hammer fell first when the VP decided to just fire the contractor that was complaining all the time about the other contractor who I'd worked with before. He was always belittling everybody, making excuses, but he never got his work done. And he was really argumentative. And, you know, I didn't really myself necessarily think he deserved it. But as soon as he got let go, the whole attitude on the team started to change. And you could tell people started not communicating as much and people weren't talking for as long in the daily stand-up meetings. And it really instilled a lot of fear where all of a sudden you could tell people were worried about what might happen to them and they weren't working together as well. So around this time, I was riding my bike a lot, and I live really close to this really cool bike trail. And so it took me like an hour each way, like 2 hours total to drive to this client every day. And you know, depending on what area of the country or the world you live in, that might not seem like a long commute. But for me, I didn't want to do that commute and not be able to work out every day. So I cleared it with my client. I talked to the project manager, the VP, all the people, and said, hey, I'm going to start working from home twice a week. So I started working from home. And after a couple of weeks, the two colleagues from my company that were also there with me went on vacation. And while they were on vacation, all of a sudden I get this call from my boss at the consulting company I work for. And he's like, Jamie, I just got a call from the project manager at the client you're at. And they said, you've been working from home. You never cleared it with them. And you don't seem like you care about the project. And I was just floored. I was in the car at the time on the way to the client. And all of a sudden I was like, dude, you know me. I did not do this. I cleared it with everybody. I don't understand why they're doing this. Let me find out. I'll get back to you. So I drove right into the client. So when I got into the office, the project manager wasn't there. I don't know if he was working remote or what the deal was, but I was trying to get a hold of him to figure out, what the hell's going on? You knew I was at home. You're never even at the meetings. Why would you all of a sudden come out of nowhere and make this grandiose statement that I don't care about the project? So I didn't know if this was something that he did on purpose or if it was just because he was completely clueless about the project. But either way, it made it really difficult for me because from then on, the other people at this client who trusted this person trusted him over me. And so I started to get scrutinized really carefully. So right before my two colleagues that were on vacation came back, the director fired the other contractor, the one that I had worked with before at my consulting agency and who was trying to win this next part of this project. And so all of a sudden I'm on this project now where it's just me and the two other gentlemen from my company and the original two people who had really started the project and architected it and were trying to win it from each other as independent consultants, both were fired and now were gone. Well, when my friends came back from vacation, at the end of that week, my boss at the agency I worked for told me, yeah, you're being rolled off this project. And usually that just means the client doesn't need me anymore. And it was really strange because I was like, well, how come there's three of us out there and the other two aren't being rolled off, but I am? And I think it was because the gentleman who was the project manager from the Big Four, he didn't like me for whatever reason. I think he picked up on that I knew he didn't know what he was talking about. And I was nice to him about it. I would not agree with him if he tried to tell the team that we should do something that didn't make sense. And I think he used the opportunity that the two other gentlemen from my agency were out of vacation to kind of try to make me look bad to my consulting company. And luckily I had worked there at that point for about 4 or 5 years and they knew me well enough and they trusted me and they talked to the other guys I worked with when they came back from vacation and they were like, no, Jamie wouldn't do this. He already cleared it with them. I don't know why they did this. But the funny thing is I had talked to this client for so long, all these different people who worked there about how much I love Taco Deli. You've probably seen me wear the t-shirts every once in a while. It's a taco joint here in Austin that I just love. I've gone there for like 10 years. And so the last day that I was at this client, they all took me out to Taco Deli and many of them hadn't had it before. So it was pretty cool. Even though there was really weird politics and a lot of like backstabbing and strange stuff going on, ultimately the client wasn't really angry with me. I think I just got caught in the crosshairs and I wasn't the right fit for that project. And there was just too much stuff going on behind the scenes. And, you know, as somebody who had always heard, you know, nonprofits can have this more kind of like altruistic purpose for their company, I was really surprised to find that this company, at least, was probably one of the most political companies I've ever worked for, and that people just were not talking to each other about what was really going on. And they were just acting like everybody was super okay and everything was fine, but there were really big problems that people weren't dealing with. So ironically, very shortly after I rolled off that project, I heard through the other two gentlemen that I worked with from my agency that were still out there that then the director got fired. So it was basically a chain reaction of one person got fired because they were pissing the other person off, then the other person got fired, and then the person that fired the two of them got fired. And I remember at the time, I just thought, you know, what a crazy situation that so many people can get blamed for a situation like this when really it had nothing to do with any of them individually. It had to do with that the process they were following for releasing their software put everybody at risk because there wasn't really a good contract that said, this is what done means. So the moral of this software project, if there is one, is that I think when a software project starts to look like there's problems, people can quickly look for somebody to blame if they don't know what's wrong. And my impression was that this nonprofit, even though they were partially a technology company and they'd built a lot of software before, they were really pretty immature about how they went about developing software. And so when things started to go wrong, I don't think they really knew how to even know what was going wrong. And so they probably were just having to answer to their boss and having to tell them why things were late and not going the way that they should, and they really didn't know what to do, so they had to start to try to find some people to take the fall. So I hope you enjoyed that story. It's just another software project from my past. I try to put these out every Friday. But if you're new to my YouTube channel, consider subscribing, and you can always listen to these instead as a podcast on Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or iTunes. Just search for Healthy Software Developer and you'll find me there. So until next time, thanks.